Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock, redeemer, and savior. Amen. So it was early in the morning on the first day of the week when Pastor Stacy sat on the shore, dark as could be. But instead of heading to a tomb, I was heading to a cave that is only accessible in the wee hours of the morning when the tide is at its lowest. And instead of walking on feet to get to this cave like the women to the tomb, I got to go in a war canoe. So me and my friends in that dark early hours of that morning hopped into the war canoes and began paddling along the coast. Finally, you could see it just barely, that cave. And we worked our way there, and we worked our way there. And the other canoes ahead of us began to go in, and somehow mine was the last canoe to enter the cave. Now, you got to realize, as we were heading into this cave, it was still dark out. The sun had not risen, and so we went from the dark morning outside into the darkness of the cave. When the canoe had nearly stopped, they said it was time to get out of the canoe. Well, apparently, I didn't move quick enough, and all of a sudden, it was shouted at me, "Stacy, get out of the canoe." And so I leapt out of the canoe, and the impact of that cave hit me with full force, and I ended up bloodied and wet on the ground as I had literally hit the top of the cave with full force. You're allowed to laugh at me. A little different story than the women, but again, dark hours and the impact of a cave as they headed to that tomb. In the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene was headed to the tomb with spices to be able to anoint the body of Jesus, desiring this last moment with him to perform this last act before the tomb would be sealed forever. And in the darkness of the night, she gets there, and what does she discover but that the tomb is open? She believes at this point that the body of Jesus had been stolen, something that was not an unlikely situation in that time. And she runs from that cave to go get help. Who does she find? But she finds Simon Peter, the center of all of the stories it seems to be, and then the beloved disciple. You know, the disciple that is so beloved, he doesn't even get a name, right? One of the perplexing parts of the Gospels in my mind. But Simon Peter and the beloved disciple are found along the path, and she yells to them, "His body's been taken. They've taken him. Please help. What are we going to do?" And so the disciples, what do? But they begin running back to the tomb. And Simon Peter, in all of his greatness that he has in building the church, is not the greatest of runners. And the gospel story tells us that the beloved disciple gets there first. But as he reaches the tomb, he's halted in his tracks at the doorway to get in. He can't even enter the tomb. But while he's still standing there trying to figure out what he's going to do, Simon Peter finally catches up with him and, like a bull in a china shop, goes right past him and into that tomb to find out what is going on. And what does he see there? But he just sees the burial cloths folded up neatly where Jesus' body used to be. Now, Simon Peter seems to just be perplexed at this moment and has no response for the absence of Jesus' body inside that tomb. But as he's standing there, the beloved disciple finally has the guts to enter the tomb to see where Jesus was. And the gospel writer tells us that the beloved disciple sees those cloths neatly folded, and he believes. Now, why does he believe? Possibly because he would know that no grave robber would take the time to take a body and neatly fold the cloths. Jesus had been telling them, "I will rise again." And here the beloved disciple just needs to see the folded cloths to know what has happened. So the disciples head out of the tomb to go back home to figure out what they do about this situation. And at this point, Mary Magdalene comes back to the scene and enters the cave. And somehow the clothes have been turned into angels. And she begins asking them, "Where is his body? What have you done with them?" But soon enough, instead of the angels, Jesus appears. And Mary doesn't immediately recognize him. And even though he speaks to her and asks her, "What are you looking for?" she still doesn't recognize him. And crying, she explains what she's looking for. She who just wants Jesus' body back so she can say her goodbyes and anoint him and take care of his body. And Jesus responds to her crying pleas with simply one word, her name. He says, "Mary." And it's like the full impact hits her right at that moment, and she realizes who it is, and she calls him Rabbi. She calls him Teacher. She calls him Master. These beloved words that it acknowledges that it is truly him resurrected before her. And here, what do we get in this Easter story? But we get three very different responses to this empty tomb. We have Simon Peter, who walks away without us even being sure if he believes what has happened, not even knowing if he realizes that Jesus has been resurrected. Here we have the beloved disciple that upon one look believes and knows, and it's right there in his heart. And then we have Mary the Magdalene, that all she has to do is hear her name. But when that personal connection happens, that experience with Christ, then she, in that moment, believes. I believe that God gives us this complex story of characters told differently in each gospel so that each of us can find the place that we relate to the story. Whether we are the one that is the first to arrive but doesn't know what to do, if we are just not quite ready to believe in that first instance, that we need to explore and evaluate and investigate even more. Whether we're that one that at first glance immediately believes like that and our lives are instantly changed. Or if we're like Mary, where we need to fully experience God and to hear our name spoken to us for us to be able to believe. No matter what our path to Christ is, no matter how it is that we get to our faith, the gospel story tells us that we are all good. That it's not about how we get there, but that we get there. But what have we gotten to when we get there? What have we gotten to as we look at these rags that are laying where Jesus' body used to be? These rags that are so significant because these rags are what Jesus was first wrapped in when God was born to this earth. God, the creator of all mankind, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, comes into human form, and is he wrapped like royalty? No, he is wrapped in the rags, the swaddling cloths. Does Jesus dress in full glory as he walks upon this earth, preaching and teaching and doing miracles? No. Jesus dresses in the rags of the every man, something not worthy of the divine. And then when he dies upon the cross, what is he given? Not the finest of silks, but the rags of burial cloths handed down to him. He lived a life of rags on this earth. God choosing to feel the pains and the sorrows and the struggles and the difficulties of this earthly life. But there at the tomb, there at the resurrection, those rags were turned into riches. As Jesus is resurrected into a life eternal with God, as Jesus is ushered into the kingdom in that moment, And the good news for us in this story is that while we wear the rags of this life, while we feel the pains and the sorrows and the struggles and the difficulties of this earth, we know that because of our faith, we know that because of what Christ did on that cross, that when our time finishes on this earth, our rags will also be turned into riches, as we will receive that same entrance into the kingdom as the child of the one true King, to receive the reward, to receive our inheritance, to receive what is rightfully ours because what Christ has done for us. That is the Alleluia of Easter, as we come to celebrate that what we have here is not all there is, but that what we have here is just the beginning of the greatness and the riches that are yet to come that we could not even imagine. My friends, will you pray with me? God, on this Easter day, we give you thanks for Christ and what he did upon the cross for us, that he would bear such shame, that he would bear such pain, that he would bear our death for us. But we come to celebrate that that death could not hold him, that that divine aspect of who he was rose above that death and came gloriously back to this earth to show us the future that we hold. We give you thanks for Christ. We give you thanks for our salvation, and we give you thanks for all of the riches that we will inherit. For this we give praise and thanks in your most mighty name. Amen.